It's me again! Composercast this week is brought to you by... We should get a sponsor.
We should get a sponsor.
That's how we make money, isn't it?
Well, it can be, but then you have a sponsor and you have to read out that. You have the paper and you read it out and you're like...
I can read it out.
Squarespace.
Yeah, or... Have you ever thought about your underwear and how much shit's in it? Well, now you can wear MeUndies, and it what it does is it
not
moves
MeUndies,
the shit.
Not mine.
Yeah, no, yours. There's a lot of shit in yours, and I want to know why it's there.
Yeah, because I shit myself.
Anyway, Composercast this week talked about Nez Snezes, not Nez Snezes, just the Snez, and a bit of the Genesis and the sounds that they make, because we're trying to continue your history of video games.
Yeah, episode 22, history of video games, all about the Snez and how you can recreate it yourself. And we chat about the games that we've played this past couple of weeks and some more VR stuff. And we've got trains and we've got underwater things and fish that help you clean the water so you can drink it.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's horrible. I wouldn't listen to it myself. This part of time in games.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
No. Just add echo to it like it's the last time.
It'll be
makes
fine.
It sound better.
What have you been
playing?
No,
you first. You first this time.
But I've been playing what you've been playing because you just got me to play it.
Yeah,
I've been playing Subnautica.
Yep.
Because it's cool and it's like a cross between Minecraft and... What was that squeak?
James Cameron's...
Minecraft and... What's the other one I'm thinking of? No Man's Sky.
Oh, okay.
Then you crash onto a planet and you crash into the water and there's a huge ship and you're in this little...
submarine?
Ejection pod thing, whatever.
Okay.
Escape pod.
Yeah.
And that's kind of bobbing around in the water far enough away from the ship. And you're in there and you have to survive. So you have to go... Like, it's got a hatch under it and a hatch above and you can climb out the top and look at the view. Or you open up the hatch under and you're in the water and you go diving and there's fish everywhere and you collect the different fish and go mining for stuff and you have to build new apparatus to kind of expand your little base and help you and make sure that you don't die. Really.
Sounds a lot like Minecraft, but
yeah.
With a
all in
submarine.
Water.
Yeah, cool.
And you can build yourself. I saw Sam's stuff that he's been doing and you can build like the big submarines and a thing called a prawn, I think it is. And it's like
fucking
a big
prawns.
It's a big weighted thing that goes on the bottom and you can mine stuff with that.
Oh, cool.
And it's a 2D, not 2D game, what do you call it?
Like pancake.
It's a normal game.
People call them pancake now.
Really?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
People
that's
who are
that's
into
the,
VR.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They refer to
bloody
2D games as
games.
Pancake. Because it's 2D, but it's still got a bit of depth. It's not, because it's not 3D. 3D now is VR.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah.
We had
so,
the awkward stage in between the 3D TVs.
Yeah. Oh, God. But we don't talk about that,
no.
William. There was like three games released in 3D, wasn't there? I remember Batman Arkham was one of the big, like, PS4 3D ones.
What's the Uncharted? Uncharted
oh, really?
Three.
Was that a 3D one?
It was, but I tried playing it on my PS3 and it was so old. Every time I tried in 3D, it would crash.
I didn't even realise the PS3 did 3D.
It did, yeah. The PS3 was advanced.
Oh. Yeah. Did you have to? Surely you must have had to have one of the newer ones, older one.
I had the original PS3, the big fat.
Did it have the flap on the front?
Yeah, I think so. It was whatever
They're
the original
really
one
rare.
Was.
Oh. There's loads of different types of the PS3, and
right.
There was one of them that had a flap on the front that had memory card inputs, and
oh,
it was the only model that was PS2 backwards compatible.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I'm sure it's that one, the first one that came out.
Or PS1 backwards compatible. It was the only one that was PS1 backwards compatible.
I don't know.
One of them could play all of the old PS games because it had the emulator or something built into it or something,
oh, okay.
And then they got rid of it. This is horrible half-knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very sorry. But I do know that they were rare, because when I worked at Blockbusters, people...
But this will get people...
Yeah, do your
us.
Own research.
Doing,
stop
well,
having
this will get people
me.
Moaning at us and being like, oh, actually, you're completely wrong there.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a PS3. You've made it up.
Sony actually only released the PS2 and a half. The 3 never came out. Minecraft plus water.
Minecraft plus No Man's Sky.
But yeah, and it's, sorry, we got distracted, pancake. It's also
yeah.
a VR game.
It's also
means
VR.
I'm interested.
But you have to play it with a normal controller. So I play with
yeah,
my 360
see,
controller.
Yeah.
But the immersion of, because it's a...
it's because you can look around, because you're in it.
Yes, but it's also because it's a... Yeah, you're a scuba diver, so you've got that mask over your face.
The letterboxing we talked
yeah.
about last week.
And
so it makes
feel...
sense to have that on your face.
Yeah, but interestingly, when you play it in... pancake mode.
Yes.
you can see they put the mask around you when you're in the water. But when you're playing in VR, it just stays normal. You don't get a little like visual mask thing because you're obviously already in a headset.
Yeah, yeah.
So they've done that little bit. And yeah, it's quite good. It's just the UI isn't great because it comes up in front of you.
Okay.
Like in your face, you're like, and so your focus has to change to try and see the UI.
Yeah, so they don't have it come up by the side of you and you can turn to look at it whenever you want. It's attached to your face.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit annoying.
But
and you also have to navigate it with a controller, so you can't access exact things instantly.
Yeah.
Surely you have to scroll through. Yep. Yeah. Oh, that's annoying. Yeah. I should have played it. You should have made me play it before we...
But in terms of...
I'll play it for next time.
Okay.
And then I can give my own little review. Actually, how much is it?
£20, I think it was on Oculus.
Jesus, I'm not playing that.
Yeah.
Train games out next week.
Yeah. Well, what have you been playing?
Derail Valley!
And you got me to play it just before this.
And did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? And yeah. I tell you what, in fact, Martin and Dom had a go on it and they enjoyed it and I'm always like, they don't enjoy anything, but they do. And they both really enjoyed that one. It's a hyper-realistic rail simulator. I found out, so the full game isn't out yet, comes out next week.
Because it got delayed?
Yeah, it didn't actually.
Oh.
I'm a moron.
You just told me the wrong...
No, I looked at it and it said out Jan 19 and I was like, January 19th, fuck yeah. But it wasn't, it was January 2019 because I'm a moron. So it's out. It was scheduled out for next week, and it should be coming out next week. But the demo's been out for 2 years.
Whoa.
And I was like, I'm so glad I've only just found out about this recently. Imagine I got that 2 years... Not bought it, it was free, but imagine I got it 2 years ago.
Yeah, you'd be waiting for ages. Oh,
but yeah, and it's just a hyper-realistic train simulator, and you're inside a train cab. I think it's called a shunter. Yeah? I've learnt so much. and you'd be a train man. It's really good, isn't it? Where we are currently sat.
We are sat on the floor. I will take a photo at some point so everyone can see the setup. We've got a mobile setup at the moment.
Ooh. It's not that mobile as we plugged in at the moment.
We can get a battery pack. Okay. We can make it mobile. But also it's got like microphones and everything, wires. I don't know, doing that outside would be...
Fun.
Maybe.
As long as it's sunny and hot. I don't want to do it in a tent.
Sorry. Derail.
Derail train. Valley, yeah. You can derail the thing as well. That's why it's called Derail Valley.
Yep. You have to pick up other trains.
You have a job book and it says like, yeah, oh, there's these, like, it doesn't actually say it like that, but it would be funny, wouldn't it, if all instructions were like, yeah, mate, right, yeah, what you got to do, yeah, you just got to do that, ain't ya? It wouldn't be as vague as that. But yeah, it says like, there's these colour trains. You've got a red one, a blue one, and a grey one. And you have to pick that up from this location and you have to lug it all the way to this location. And then you do that 20 times and you're a train man.
But you get to admire the view and to not fall off the tracks.
And the sound design.
And the sound is really good. Yes, that's an important part of it.
It really is.
Because you got me to stick my head out of the window.
And it changes it because it's when you're inside the cab, it adds all the, you know, the acoustic to the cab and you've got that sort of like muffled, like, and you've got the sound of the tracks, the choo-choo.
Yep, so when it over the bridge, it changed. That was really nice.
Yep, so the bridge adds it makes it more hollow and you can hear that you're on a bridge and it's just so immersive. And the sound of the throttle, the sound of the brakes, all of it's done incredibly well.
But they've got that thing that you were complaining about before, they fixed like that thing in games where it sounds like it's actually from behind you.
Yeah.
Like, how have they done that? That's what I wonder. How have they done that? And then other big games just like, oh, no, just would turn the volume up.
Yeah. It's that thing I said is it needs to understand that when something's behind you, it's just quieter. Like, I think that's all it is it not? It's quieter.
I don't, because it hits your ears differently as well.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about that binaural audio stuff, then it's coming from the back of your ears. So yeah. It's hitting all the skin before it gets there, so maybe...
The phrase, hitting all the skin.
So maybe, maybe if it's behind you, you'd apply some different sort of EQ, because it knows the position, so maybe it goes... Because it's going to sound slightly different coming from there, because it's got to, I'm going to say, pass through the skin. Everything, it has to pass through
your
ear.
I like the phrase, tickle. It's got a little tickle your ear.
Yeah. Maybe they do that. I don't know. We should.
Well, they add... it's the special tickle the ear filter on whatever they're using on the mix.
Maybe.
Yeah.
If it knows the sounds back there, then you can EQ the sound to say, well, if it's in that position, do this.
Yeah, add that filter. It's just one little... It's just a filter.
I could be talking absolute nonsense, though, because I don't actually know...
Why don't we know anything, William?
Because...
Before we talk... What's funny is we talked about this last time. We've learnt nothing. It's been a month. Christmas has passed.
Yeah.
It's been a new year and no new us. I think we should both talk about Pixel Ripped as well, because we both played that recently.
Oh, we did, didn't we?
A game that, sound design-wise, I thought it was actually very good.
Yeah, and well, I didn't really pay attention to the sound. I thought the music was good.
Yeah, it was just sort of the era that it was based in. So Pixel Ripped is a game where you're playing a sprite within a game, and his world has been invaded by a bug. And to save the pixel world, you go out into the real world, into some little girl's Game Boy, and she has to complete the game. And then you take form as a little girl. You're a little girl in this game. And you have to play a game on the games console that's in your hand while you're in a classroom, and you can't get caught by the teacher. And it's just, it's good, but it wasn't executed perfectly. I think the tone of it was nice. It was just the actual gameplay was a bit tedious.
It needed more. Everything needed to be perfected.
The 2D game could have been better. The 3D game could have been better.
Yeah.
And like, yeah.
If they just picked one of those and perfected that one, maybe. Yeah. Might have been good. I don't know.
Yeah, it was kind of like they shaved the quality of everything to make to finish it, I guess.
I don't know. I don't know how big the team was.
Yeah, yeah.
Might be small.
Yeah, it's annoying, isn't it, trying to, like, criticize something and being like, well, you could have worked harder.
And why, like, didn't, why didn't you make Red Dead? Like, well, it's just me.
Yeah. It was short as well, so maybe it was a small team.
Yeah, I think I would have been happy if it was a fiver. I think that would have been good, £5-6.
But you can't whinge about paying £10 for a game, William. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, people go to the cinema and that's a 2-hour thing that isn't interactable.
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 No, that's a good point, yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's I think I do need to whinge less about the price of VR games, because I do look at them and go, yeah, but £15, no. But I should be happy with something being that much and having a go at it. But then also saying that, I would spend hundreds and hundreds of pounds on games.
Yeah.
If I had that, like, blasé attitude about spending £15. I mean, if I was rich, then I'd buy all of it. And if you want to sponsor me, we have a Patreon, and you can give me money to buy VR games. I'll tell you that they're shit.
But we do have a Patreon.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's. Well,
what would we use the, like, I feel a way to maybe get people to sponsor the podcast and to help out is to think, well, what would we do with the money? How would we? Well, just brought a new microphone, even though we didn't get any money.
No, you did that on your own back, and that's very nice of you.
But this is coming from a new microphone, but we could get another new microphone.
Yeah? Do I sound a bit weaker? It sounds weaker compared to you.
I don't think it does.
Maybe I need to talk with more authority.
No, yeah. Yeah.
But if people were sponsored, we could upgrade the gear. Or so we're recording into this, what is it, a Focusrite iTrack at the moment. So all of this is being recorded onto an iPad, and then we'll export that and edit it on, like, the PC and stuff. But I don't.
Wheel is very nice of you. Thank you.
But I don't actually own the Focusrite. That was
borrowed
from Sam, who has been on the podcast before. And he kindly, lent me this. And it just means we can sit on the floor like we are now.
Yeah.
Record. But again, if
sounds like a downgrade, really.
But if we were sponsored, then I could buy my own one.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe we could do rewards of, like, you know, maybe film us playing VR games. And
what do you think people would want as rewards?
I don't know.
Do they want?
I want nothing from me. I don't even want this podcast from me.
Do they want? Because you could do. I know Patreon hooks up with Discord, so if people who are hit a certain tier, or anyone who supports you, like $1, it's all in dollars on Patreon.
Oh, nice!
But anyone who supports you, like $1, then gets access to the Discord channel where they can chat to you and talk about VR games and all the stuff.
Well, yeah, if people want to do that, waste their time talking to me.
Well, they're wasting their time
listening to
us.
It, that's fine. Yeah, I guess I've just whinged about the cinema not being interactable, and then be like, why would someone want to? Yeah, anyway, yeah.
But Pixel Ripped needs to be better and longer.
Yeah, but I still think the idea of it was very good, and the initial when you the experience of just playing the game was you're like, oh, this is really cool the whole time I was playing it, but then it's kind of like, well, the gameplay is a bit there. So yeah, But it was good, and the soundtrack was good. And
yeah, well, they had the synth wave kind of stuff. 80s crazy soundtrack. That was really cool.
Because it was set in a school in England as well, which I thought was good. In the early 90s, I guess. Because there was like, you're holding a Game Boy, and there was an overhead projector.
I assumed it was in 1989.
Pixel Rip 1989, that's the name, isn't it?
Yep.
That's the name of the name of the game.
That's so breathy and horrible.
Try and do the most breathy, the most unlistenable jingles ever. Add echo to it, like you already did, and then it'll be good.
Oh, yep.
Am I shouting again?
A little bit, but that's all right. I can turn you down, it's fine.
So, as a continuation of your The History of Video Game Music series, William.
Yes.
We are going to talk about the SNES, or, as normal people call it, the SNES.
Or the Super NES, or the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
You can't say it like that. If you're going to say the full name, you've got to say it like, Super Nintendo Entertainment System! You have to say it like that, otherwise...
Yeah, but lots of people call it the... What do they call it?
SNES. The Americans call it the SNES.
But that's, why not just
it's
call it
stupid,
a SNES?
Isn't it? I know, it's really
right
weird.
It's right there. It's written
it's
in front of you.
Because they call the NES the NES.
Well, that's stupid as well. Yeah. It's a NES.
NES, I know. Yeah. I mean, it's because they don't like S. They love the Zs, don't they? If it's an S, they can't. It has to be NES.
Okay.
Because they look at an S and go, that can't make a Z sound.
I didn't think about that.
SNES.
Yes. That was my first console.
Nice. I had elder relatives, siblings. I had my nan was very into gaming, and my older brother had
I was like, oh, I wish I met her.
No. My older brother had an Atari, or my family had an Atari, but I was really young when that was about, so I don't think I had a proper experience with that. It was like, I wasn't really allowed to touch it in case I broke it. And then they had a NES, and then I loved that thing, Duck Hunt, because we had the shooty.
Oh, you had the gun, yep.
Yeah, but then the SNES, as was with you, was my first console. Yeah. The other ones was the family's, whereas mine... was the SNES.
I had
something
before the SNES, but I think it was like a PC thing.
Like a Spectrum or like a Commodore 64.
I think it might have been a Commodore. Yeah.
Tape.
And it had Monkey Island on it, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a really good game, though. Why did you not fall in love with it then?
Well, I think I was too young.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, the SNES came out in 92 in Europe, so I would have been, what?
Three.
Three, yeah.
Yeah.
As I'm counting on my fingers.
Brilliant.
There.
Well done.
It's like I was born 88, so 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, is it 4? 3. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's tricky.
I can't be bothered. It doesn't matter. You would have been younger.
Yeah, too young to appreciate the stuff. So I'm not quite sure when we got a SNES, but...
Also, with the Commodore, you couldn't... You can't just click a button and like hold a controller and press the start button with those sort of things. It wasn't a console in that sense.
No,
it was like you had to type in the word run and then press enter and stuff. And you... Well, unless you're some sort of bloody genius child, then how were you meant to do that? No, I want to press a button and then hold a controller for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
Good days, eh?
Saturday mornings, cartoons, Super Nintendo.
Your favourite games from the SNES?
You've got Zelda, Link to the Past.
I never played that one.
But I preferred Link's Awakening on the Game Boy.
Yep.
But they're both basically this. They're kind of the same. They use the same map. It's confusing. They're like two... It's like the same game in my head because the map's really similar.
But they're also, because they're the same series of games, they use the same, like, you know, top-down view and stuff.
Yep.
It's like, back in those days, you could genreize a game by just how it looked and how it played, I guess. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, you've got Zelda and Donkey Kong, obviously, was really good.
Yeah.
And, stuff I've been playing recently, though, on it. Like, I played Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. And that's the only
Isn't
game.
Isn't that really hard? Isn't that one of those ones that's...
I don't think it's... No, because me and Rachel... Rachel doesn't play video games, but we completed it as a pair.
Yeah, because it's two-player co-op, isn't it? Yeah.
So that was really fun.
It's like... Is that the one that looks a bit like Streets of Rage? It's that sort of like 2D, but you can walk along the plane up and down.
Yep.
Like Double Dragon.
Yeah.
Did you ever play that game?
I don't think so. Was that the SNES? Well, that's for Sega.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. I think that was a Mega Drive game. Or maybe even a Master System game.
Ooh.
Yeah, it is, because I've got it on Master System, I think, somewhere in the loft.
Which order? It was Master System before or after
Mega Drive? Yeah, Master System was before the Mega Drive, or in America, the Sega Genesis. Mm. In fact, there was a Master System 2, but I think the only difference was it came with a game built into it called Alex the Kid in Miracle World.
Right.
If you've ever played that game, you will know the horror of hearing... Oh God! But what happened was, if you didn't put a cartridge in the console and just turned on the console, it loaded up this game, which is a really weird feature. Like
when you turn on the console, there's already a game on there.
Yeah, but that's just it's not. What are you saying? That it's biased to Alex the Kid or something?
Yeah.
But it's just a game. Like, back in the day, there was no sort of, like, people going, like, I wish FIFA was on my Master System as opposed to Alex the Kid. It was like, oh, cool, bonus. There's a little thing on here that if I don't put a game in, I've got this game that's shit.
Or automatically getting U2 on your iPhones.
Yeah. But again, back in the day, no one was like, there's a market dominance with Alex the Kid. He's bloody everywhere. He did have a few more games as well.
Yeah.
Alex the Kid in, I've forgotten all the names. Shinobi or something. Look it up yourselves. Yeah. They're all rubbish. Apart from Miracle World, which was rubbish, but hard and...
But the SNES.
SNES!
The SNES. We like the SNES. We played it.
I didn't tell you my favourite game.
Oh, yeah, sorry. What was your favourite
game? You can take it on a tangent while I mention mine. I really liked the Looney Tunes... Bugs Bunny. There was a Bugs Bunny SNES game that was incredible. I wish I knew the name of it. Because I don't know the other one. Buster Bust Loose was the other Looney Tunes one, where you were a rabbit. It was a bit platformy, and then at the end of every level, you spun a wheel, and there was like a mini game. And I only loved this one mini game, but the mini games were random.
Oh.
So you'd play the game hoping to get this one mini game, which was like a squash, I think it was. Like, it was just like hitting a ball against the wall. So simple.
Yeah.
I remember it very vividly. Doom! Doom was a good SNES game.
Doom was on the SNES?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't...
And in fact, because we're meant to be talking about the sound of the SNES, aren't we?
Well, I was going to cover like the whole lot of the SNES.
Well, because the SNES and the Genesis, or the Mega Drive, I should call it the Mega Drive, really, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
They were the same sort of like... Oh, I shouldn't really talk while you're wibbling about with the microphone.
Well, I can cut my side out. That's fine.
All right.
I've wobbled. The SNES. Now, we're finally getting to it.
Finally getting to it.
Talking.
After recording and then deleting it and then recording and then going, what are we talking about? Oh, let's learn some knowledge. And now you've got the knowledge on the television.
I have the knowledge on the television about the SNES and the whole difference between the SNES and its predecessors and all the other consoles that were around.
Not all of them.
Oh,
Jesus.
So the Sega, let's take the Mega Drive then.
Okay.
So the difference between that and the SNES was the SNES could do sampling.
Bloody lovely sampling.
Yeah.
What is sampling, William?
Sampling is the process of taking any sounds that you want, and it could be anything. It could be you making fart noises.
Yep.
It always is. Yep. Or it could be just a nice keyboard sound or anything, a bass or anything. You take the sound and then you pop it into the sampler and you play it back. But obviously the SNES has limitations. So when you're playing it back, it's going to be downsampled, and they have to be really, really, really short samples to be able to fit.
Could you call that bit crushed?
You could. You can get plugins that bit crush.
Yeah, and you did it with, you got a sample of a piano.
Yep, with one note on the piano.
Yep.
I did get very confused though, because the note that I'd sampled...
That happens very easily.
It does.
Yes.
But the note that I'd sampled, turns out it was an F.
Okay.
But when I brought it into contact, then I was playing it as if it was a C, so when I tried to play other instruments with it, I got a bit confused.
Oh, so you had to transpose it.
Yeah. So if anyone else does that, then yeah, watch out for that bit.
I think most people would do that. They'd go, what note am I recording? Oh, it's that note. I will then play that note as the... No?
I think you can move the note around, so you have like the home of the note.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And instead of having the root of the note being on F, because it was an F note, I put it on C, so everything was all out of whack.
Yeah.
But if you've got Logic, then... Well, so, anyway, back to the SNES. I was thinking you're sampling, so I was going to explain how you could do it in the modern day. But basically, on the SNES, you take the sound and you crush it down to 8 kilohertz, which is 8,000 samples per second.
Yes.
Yep. And but it's still 16 bit, so modern CDs are 44.1 kilohertz. So it's quite a bit less quality than a modern CD.
Makes it sound, so this is me saying it at normal, nice quality.
And this is me in a horrible 8-bit crust. Can you hear the difference? Did you hear the difference?
I'm going to have to remember to post-process that, aren't
I? Yeah, you are. Yeah, yeah. Maybe I should do a clean one as opposed to doing a silly voice. Just like Donald Duck.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I could post-process. I'll just put it on a separate track, put the thing on there, and then you'll have a lovely... You'll hear what a sample would sound like if it was on the SNES.
Yeah.
But obviously way, way longer. Because so the SNES, it had 8 channels and hardly any memory at all.
Yeah.
So everything had to be really tiny.
What's the number of the memory? Come on, it's written down.
The number of the memory is... Where is the number?
There you go. It had 64 kilobytes of SRAM. SRAM.
So you had two separate things I think I put on here. So you got 128 kilobytes of general purpose RAM, but that was separate from the video and audio. But it says the audio subsystem with the SMP, you had this single chip, and that had 8-bit CPU just for the sound. And it says a 16-bit DSP, so that's why you get the...
So many acronyms.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
What do they stand for?
I don't know.
No, we'll never know. I'm not looking out.
Nope. We've looked up enough stuff for it and not come to any answers because we keep stopping and starting. 64 kilobits of SRAM, like you said.
Cool.
Well, it's got built-in effects. That's another thing.
Yeah.
That's a cool thing. So all of the... So you've got 8 channels... 6 of them were generally for music. 2 of them you'd have for the sound effects. That was a general setup.
Are they called noise channels? Is that right?
No, noise channels are specifically channels that can only make the noise, like the psh,
yeah,
psh,
like
the
white noise.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
They're noise channels.
And you can pitch correct that white noise, though, can't you? You can make it go psh.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
And they'd use that a lot for
bombs,
sound effects,
and
wind and waves and that sort of stuff. But you've got, so you've got your 8 channels, 6 of them for music and 2 for sound effects, but you could use all 8 for music if you wanted to, if you didn't want any sound effects for that bit. And then each channel can be panned, and each channel can have its own effect. So I think you've got delay and reverb that you can put on there, and then you can pitch shift stuff
as well. Most people compose all this on a tracker, or could you use a different program to compose the music on?
I'm not sure, you know,
because you've spoken about a tracker before in these podcasts, haven't you? It's a vertical DAW in a way. It's like instead of scrolling sideways, everything works from the top downwards, and your timeline goes downwards.
And you tell it what
note, what octave,
what
sample you want to use, and then any effects that you want to put on it.
But we were just looking at Donkey Kong, weren't we?
Yes.
And the David Wise composer man, and the video was explaining how he composed the stuff of that, and he was using a tracker.
Yes.
Yeah.
And but the way that he the way that one of the clever things when people create something out of limitations, it always amazes me, and it's good, it pushes people forward, doesn't it, giving them limitations.
It does, and now,
like when people compose songs on old floppy drives and stuff, you ever seen that where someone does like the Imperial March but it's being played on old floppy drives? Like, why do humans feel compelled to be like, oh, that would sound rubbish, but I can do it, so I bloody will. I love that about us. I mean, Doctor Who goes on about that a lot, doesn't he?
Does he?
I've gone off topic. But yeah, the David Wise matey, what he did was, he, because of the limitations of having, you could only have very short samples, so if you wanted a longer sample, he had the idea that you could chop down the longer sample into tiny, export it as loads and loads of tiny different smaller samples, and then put them out in sequence so that they're played in sequence, so they sound like the longer
sounds
sample.
Sounds like one long like pad. So you didn't, before that, you didn't have pads in games, really.
Yeah.
And that, and the example they gave, well, we can probably play that on here. I think we can play snippets of things as education.
Yes.
So we'll play the snippet of the underwater level in Donkey Kong.
Thank you. We should talk about the comparison between the SNES and the Mega Drive, because the Mega Drive, also the SNES in America, they call it the SNES, don't they?
Which is long.
And it stands for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Super Nintendo Entertainment System!
That's how you meant to say it.
You told me to say it like that.
I did.
You said if you're going to say it like that,
if you're going to use its full name, you have to shout it in jubilation. And the Mega Drive is also called the Genesis in the US. But I do believe in Japan and Europe, it's called the Mega Drive, which is a much better name.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it does sound a bit self-serving, doesn't it? A bit like, yeah, this is the Mega Drive. They never released an Ultra Drive or something, did they? They never, because the Super Nintendo, looked at the Nintendo and went, or the Nintendo Entertainment System. They looked at the NES and went, well, it's better than that, isn't it? Is it Super? Yeah, it's fucking Super, mate. So they just clunked that on the beginning. It'd be better if they called the GameCube the Ultra Super Nintendo Entertainment System. Why? Because then eventually, now they've got like, what, 15 consoles, we could have had a fucking massive long acronym for their new consoles. The Mega Ultra Crap. No, not crap. Why would they put crap?
But we've got the Wii.
Yeah, they went for a different tactic.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the difference between the SNES and the Genesis is that the Mega Drive Genesis couldn't do samples.
It did FM synthesis. So
it sounded like an older keyboard, didn't it? And you had to choose from...
Yeah, and everything sounded the same. It all used the same... I was going to say samples, but not... But
waves.
All, yeah, it had to produce the sound from the sound chip, and they all... Obviously, it could only do one kind of thing. So all the games sounded the same. But when you had games, the same game... But on the different consoles, then there were the massive differences.
The good example is Doom, isn't it? The difference between the Dooms is massive. Well, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the SNES is far superior.
And it sounds... We'll play a snippet of that as well, so people can hear. So you'll hear the...
Do the Mega Drive first. Do the worser one.
Oh, yeah.
And then do the SNES afterwards, because then you can go, this sounds all right, is it? Oh, whoa! What's this?
And imagine if you were back in that time, and then you get a SNES, and you hear the sounds, and you've got... Like, everything would be amazing. You've never heard that stuff before.
Yeah.
Especially with a game.
What? Yeah.
I like your thing about the limitations. I've talked about it before, but that limitations produce creativity.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, they definitely do, yeah.
And now part of the problem people get is you sit down, and like if you're trying to write some music or something, you've got the entire fucking world.
Yeah.
You can do anything.
Yeah.
It's and when you've got that, you just go,
like a blank sheet of paper is much harder than lined paper.
Well, I was thinking if someone says, well, someone has a line written at the top of the paper that says, there's a boy with a limp.
Yeah, writing prompts is what they're called.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, cool, there's a boy with a limp. Well, he obviously got in an accident, bloody idiot.
And he died.
Yeah.
The end.
But if you had a blank piece of paper, you might never come up with that amazing story.
Never think of a boy with a limp. No one would ever think of a boy with a limp. You've gone instantly tragic.
But same with music. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you go instantly tragic with music.
Yep.
You make the best songs ever.
But I think you need to give yourself limitations. So this is why it's quite fun writing for old stuff like this, because you say, right, I've only got 6 or 8 channels, however many you want, and they have to be really short samples. So if you're trying to do this stuff yourself, then it depends what kind of system you're working on. But if you're on a Mac and you're using Logic, then there's a EXS24 or something, and you can use that as a sampler. So you just literally grab the WAV file, throw it in, and then you've got to make sure that you've got to adjust a few settings. But it's the same with Kontakt. If you got Kontakt and you just grab the WAV file, throw it in, and that creates a whole instrument.
What's Kontakt again?
Kontakt is like a it's a plugin, but it hosts loads of other people make instruments for it.
Okay.
So if you want to use, I don't know, loads and loads of stuff. People make it because it's got so many controls and things you can tweak in it. People seem to make instruments for Kontakt.
Okay.
Rather than it being an instrument in itself.
So, like, rather than making a VST themselves, they'd make... Is that right? Is that wrong?
Sort of. I think Kontakt hosts, like, the VST.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Kontakt opens up all the controls because the people who developed it have gone, well, this is, like, the standard. You can look, all these knobs and stuff you can twist. Go and build instruments with that. And people went, yep, okay.
Okay, cool.
But it cost a bunch of money to buy, and it's a bit of a pain. But if you want to get into all the sampling stuff, it is kind of necessary.
Yeah.
But in that, yeah, you grab the WAV, you throw it into there, and then, like what I did, we'll make sure that you put the note on the right key.
Yep.
So you're not... Step one, yes. Actually, there is a step one. I did write down a step one if people wanted to do this themselves. Yeah, I even said, so you drag and drop the WAV file into Kontakt and make sure you hit the wrench icon because you want to change the mode from sampler to Time Machine Pro. That was the main bit that threw me for a little bit, because if you don't do that, then when you play the samples really low down, they'll be long.
Yeah,
and when you play them high,
like,
in the high sample, and they'll be, yeah. So the pitch is at changing the actual length, which is rubbish if you're trying to do anything.
Yeah.
So you just got to make sure you change it to Time Machine Pro, and then everything is the same length.
Okay, cool.
And sounds good. And also, if you're doing it, you want to... So the snares had, because everything was so small in terms of the sounds, you have to kind of emulate that if you're trying to do it now. And so you have to make the attack is super, super short and make the release super short as well.
Yeah.
And just have a really short sample.
Yeah. I just thought that the short samples is the reason that voices sounded very strange on... Do you remember whenever something said something like, "Yeah, okay," it sounded like really weird and like crushed, and it was like... whenever there was like... Do you know what I mean by that? Like whenever they used a sample of a voice.
Winner!
Yeah. Well, no, maybe it did. I don't know. I just have that sort of weird, like, it's not quite the sound of someone's voice, but it is. It's like, yeah, it's
I'm
weird.
Trying to, I can't think of what games use it specifically now, but fighting games, I'm sure they had it.
Well,
in there.
The Finish Him from Mortal Kombat.
But I know that, and it's super, super crushed.
Yeah. And it's,
That would take up a lot of room just to have that on there. So you've really got to think about whether you need that. I think they definitely needed Finish Him, though.
Yeah, of course.
But now we're going to find out it's not even in the SNES one.
It's like Play Again Sam, but for Mortal Kombat.
What else is there? So, the last thing is, if you're trying to do it like in modern times, you can either use Super Audio Cart, which has a whole bunch of stuff all sampled for you. It's all done, and you literally just play, and it's done.
Yeah.
But if you want to do it yourself, so reduce the attack, reduce the release, and then you have to use another plugin to degrade it. Basically
crush it
and make it sound rubbish, so you can still keep it at 16-bit, and most doors are either 16 24
doors.
DAWs.
I forgot they're called doors.
And then you have to reduce the sample rate down to 8 kilohertz, and then that gives it that kind of old sound. And then you're pretty much away, and then you've got effects then, so like delay and reverb, and the delay is interesting because it's in 16 millisecond intervals.
Okay.
So it's a distinctive delay sound because you've got 16, you've got 32, and you just add 16 every time, and it can go as high as 240 milliseconds. But that gets you that distinctive, SNES sound.
SNES reverb that you will play now?
Yeah. Well, so I'll play, I think, Final Fantasy intro.
Yeah.
And Chrono Trigger is another one.
Being able to hear that, the 16 millisecond intervals.
There you go. Yeah.
Nice.
Getting into the tech. Thank you.
Do you reckon you could add that 16 millisecond onto your guitar and it would make it, if you added it to any instrument, and it would make it sound like distinctively snazzy?
Yeah, but you'd have to, with a guitar, you'd have
crush
to
crush it.
You'd have to crush it as well, and you'd have to make it have really short attack and release. Well, it's a tiny sample.
Yeah.
So you could play, I don't know, probably pick something on the G or D string, pick that one note and be like, okay, this is my note.
Okay.
And then sample that note. And I think you can have lots and lots of different samples, but okay, you could just sample that one note and then it just changes pitch depending where you're playing on the keyboard.
Okay.
That's something I'm not sure about, how they did that in the SNES. So when you've got like a note, so you've sampled a bass playing a C.
Yeah.
Did they also sample the bass playing a G and all the other notes, or did they just have the C and then you just change the pitch? Because that would make sense if they just did that, because that would save loads of room to just have one sample.
Yeah. Now would they have been able to do that thing where instead of changing the length of it, they changed just the pitch of it?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah, but I didn't know.
That was just a question.
But now I'm saying it out loud, I think, yeah, they would have just had one sample. That's the bass sample. And then they changed that. That would save loads of room.
I just had a thought. When someone's composing a song, so say I'm composing, this is, take yourself back to 1994 when the SNES, was it out in 1994?
92. Three in Europe.
Cool. So
I think
the SNES is out, right?
And
it
is out.
I'm a Mr. Composer man.
Yeah.
And I want to compose a song for a thing, and I'm like, I'm like, here you go, I've done this, but I've used the FX channels, and then they're like, oh no, because we need to use the FX channels for this bit, for the sound effects in this bit. Would you have to beforehand be like, oh, I'm composing this song, can I use the FX channels for the song? Or do you know what I mean? I wonder whether what sort of collaboration was happening with the game designers and the game composers at that point.
Yeah, because then it was, by that point, you did have big companies running everything, didn't you? Like, yeah, making games. So it wasn't just one guy doing it and knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
I would guess it would be, well, normally the composers brought on quite late in lots of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'd assume they've already done a whole bunch of stuff.
So they know that the sound effects are going to be used in these bits or whatever.
But I think the standard was, you've got 6 channels.
Yeah, and don't use the sound effects channels.
Yeah, and then you're going to be safe. And then you could use the sound effects channels like the other two if you can later.
Yeah. Were we going to talk about the fact that the SNES and the Game Boy Advance were pretty similar? Because the Game Boy is basically an old NES shoved inside a portable thing.
Yep, except that it can do stereo, whereas the NES couldn't.
Oh, wow, so it was actually better than the NES.
I can't remember what it was, but this is what I looked at on the last history of video game ones, but I think it can do stereo, but it had one less channel maybe.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Okay.
I think that was it. But the Game Boy Advance and the SNES are the same.
Okay.
I don't think there's any difference.
Oh, there is, because I looked at a video.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, there's loads. Basically, every chip is different.
Oh, okay. Well, you've done more research on me on this bit.
I watched one video on YouTube where a man explained it. But yeah, it was basically like, same with the Game Boy Advance. It had pretty similar, like, chips, but they were all slightly better. So, yeah. Also,
the Game Boy Advance sounded better than the SNES?
Yes.
Okay. It was way more modern as well, wasn't it? Like, it came out much later.
Yeah. Do you know the time it came out? It came out when the GameCube. The GameCube came out a year or something after the Game Boy Advance.
Whoa.
We should look that up. But yeah. And so it came out very late for what it was, but it dominated the market. Because at that point you had handheld devices. The PSP was coming out a year later or something.
Yeah. The PSP didn't really win, did it?
No, because it's Nintendo have this magical thing they do where they manage to make everyone think that they're geniuses, including me.
Yeah. Well, they have their IPs.
Yeah. Mario.
And I think based on that, and of course the games are good, but
they are, but they're technologically,
but no one cares about the tech.
No, that's good
they?
Though. I'm on the side of that. I don't know why I'm trying to defend the PlayStation Portable. I never had one.
I did. I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to take it to, when I was working in the studio at Farnborough Sixth Form,
yeah.
I used to take it there because we'd record a track for 15 minutes and then I'd go, okay, guitar's done. And then you go and sit outside for 2 hours until the next student comes in.
Yeah.
But you still got paid for the whole thing. That was
oh,
nice.
Cool.
But me and Sam would just sit there with our PSPs playing on there, Metal Gear Solid.
It had its own format. UMDs.
Oh, the tiny
Media
little
discs.
Yeah.
Why are all not DVDs? This is tangent central. Why are all not discs that come out, why are they not all in that little safety plastic casing so they can't get scratched? Like a mini disc.
Yeah.
What that could what why?
I would assume because it costs more for manufacturing then.
Yeah, but it comes in a DVD case. Every disc you buy doesn't come just as the disc, does it? It comes in its own little case.
Yeah, unless they get it from like the market and just one of those knockoff ones.
All right. Well, it comes in a cardboard sleeve. Yeah, yeah, with a bit of and blurb. Have you ever read the blurbs on some of those? They're amazing because sometimes they make up their own blurbs.
I miss that in games now though. I miss manuals in games. I miss the physical thing of being able to read and going, oh, that's really interesting.
I haven't bought a game in ages. Yeah. Everything's downloaded, isn't it?
Yeah. But Red Dead came with a map. That was really good. I was happy with that.
I do like having a physical map.
You look at it once when you open it, and you never look at it again.
But that's all pancake games.
Pancake games.
Yeah, we don't need that in virtual reality, mate. You can have a virtual instruction manual.
Yeah, you can. That's a good point.
The train game, that had a virtual instruction manual. It's just I was behind you whispering instructions in your ear.
Yeah.
No, William, that's the throttle. Push that up a bit further, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, I made my own game.
Oh, I saw.
This week.
Yes.
So that's what I did.
Game's a bit of a stretch, isn't it?
I did a tutorial.
Yeah.
With JavaScript and made a... It is a game.
Okay.
It has a goal.
Things move on it.
Yeah, things move on it. There's music, there's sound effects, and it has a goal. It's basically a side version of Frogger.
Yeah.
Like, you're moving across the screen, things are going up and down, and if they hit you, you lose. If you manage to dodge out of the way of all of them, and you can only go right. You can't move up or down.
Do you remember when we were talking about Pixel Ripped and how shoddy it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, stones, houses made of glass.
But...
Yeah, to be fair, you haven't released yours and charging $14.99.
Yeah, I'm not selling it. It's just it's there for people to play if they want to see.
People can actually play this if they want.
Yeah.
This is what the Patreon's for, isn't it?
Exactly.
This is what, you know, it's up,
it's live. I think it's on willhallywell.com. And then I've hidden, basically it's hidden live. It's not actually...
You're embarrassed of it.
Not embarrassed. It's just there off the website. I might put it in the front center.
Okay.
But it's willhallywell.com/game/index.html.
Okay. No one's going to have any fun playing it.
Oh, no, not at all. But they can see that I made something. Yeah. But it was just interesting to make a game from scratch. I'd recommend anyone else, like, go do it.
You're always whinging at me. Whenever I whinge about games, you're like, make your own, then.
You should make your own.
I know. I couldn't even... I got Beat Saber recently, and you can do custom maps on that. And, well, maps is... You can do custom tracks. So you upload a track, and then you map the things. Beat Saber is a game that is very good. It's VR again, because obviously I'm talking. And it is a game that is like Guitar Hero, except instead of holding a little plastic guitar, you hold little plastic lightsabers, but not you're holding a controller. Anyway, you've got lightsabers and blocks fly towards you, and you've got to hit them in the right direction on time, and it's bloody incredible.
I'm rubbish at it. It's really difficult.
You weren't actually that rubbish at it, and you only played it once. You're not going to be instantly incredible at it. It's one of those things where you need practice. It's good. But I couldn't even be bothered to... There's a beautiful beautiful map maker app that I got, and I can't even be bothered to do that. I'm never going to be able to make my own game.
You will.
No.
You just... you won't.
I won't. I could... Maybe direct one, tell someone what to do, but I'm never going to do it myself.
But I wanted the experience of, even if it was just this tiny, tiny little JavaScript web-based game, I wanted the experience of going from the very beginning, building the whole thing, and adding in the music and the sound effects, so I'd know from, like, it's not a direct comparison, but from someone who is, like, an indie developer making their own game, what kind of experience they go through.
And what they want from you as a composer.
Yeah. Yeah, and they, from what I learned from that tiny little experiment... is they just want the sound and the music to fucking work. They don't want to have to fiddle about putting it in. Because I was like, oh, cool. Well, when it hits that, I want it to make that sound. But no, you have to look for the collision. And then when there's collision, play the sound. But because it's a web-based thing, then it has to be either an MP3 or an OGG file. Because some browsers can't play one or the other or something.
Okay.
And so then you've got to think about all these little things. And I was like, if you're a game developer, you're just like, well, no, I want the sounds. I think like a composer... More so a sound designer, but like a composer, to give them a bit of an edge, it would be good if they know how to integrate the sounds. Oh, a dog! The sounds into the game, so then the other people don't have to worry about that.
Okay, so you just want to give them the MP3s or whatever, or all of the files that they would possibly need.
Well, I'm thinking like you know, or to even learn how to use Wise or FMod, which is the middleware stuff. So you, if you know how to use that, then you can say, oh, well, here are the sounds, but instead of just giving them to you, I can implement them in the game because I know all you've got to do is attach that bit to that bit of the game, and then my sound can do this. And they'll go, oh, okay, yeah, that's really useful.
Okay.
So I think if you know what they're thinking a bit more, or how their equipment and how their design would work, and how you can make your music or sounds work better with their stuff. Basically, keep making them do less, making their life easier. I think that's the key to anything, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's make the, someone's life
easier.
To be
the best candidate, you want to, you know, lick a few bottoms.
Oh. The only other thing I had to say about the SNES, I think, was the one last thing. If you're making it yourself and trying to do the music yourself, is roll off the EQ on the high end and the low end, because the SNES sound chip did that automatically.
Okay.
So you never get really, really tinny sounds on the SNES. Everything's really, it's got this kind of warm, smooth
When you
sound.
Said it did it automatically, do you mean it couldn't do the, it, like, it couldn't be not that?
Yes. Yeah. The sound chip was, that's
limited.
That's the sound it gave. It didn't have any high end, and it rolled off quite a lot of the low end. So if you do that, just an EQ on like the very, you only have to do it on the master channel.
Yep.
And then it will sound even more like a SNES.
Do the VSTs like, what was the Superboy one called?
Super Audio Cart.
Yeah. Does that do that automatically then?
Well, that's a, I don't know.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I think you can go into it though and see a lot more of what it's doing and change.
Because you can even choose the chip that you want to use with that, can't you? Super Audio Boy.
No, that was with Deflamask.
Oh,
so
okay.
So Deflamask is the tracker, but I think Deflamask has a SNES on there.
Okay.
So again, you import your own samples, but I haven't tried it on that.
Okay. Should give it a go. Compose something, put it in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, do it. Why are you crouching?
I'm trying to get comfortable. Well, we're sitting on the floor, aren't we?
Yeah, I know. But I've kind of gone for like a... I'm straddling the microphone. But yeah.
That didn't...
We were both cross legs before, and now we're...
No, cross leg does not work.
Our joints are all...
I am a bit achy from the sitting on the floor.
That's why Japanese people are so healthy. Because they've got to do this all the time.
I don't think it's to do with us getting... Well, it is to do with us getting old.
Oh, it's absolutely to do with us getting
old. But you can easily... have it not happen. Like, there's plenty of 40-year-olds who can sit on the floor and...
Yeah, but they invest their time in doing yoga and exercise.
Yeah.
I want to be a train driver in the virtual world. I don't have time for this exercise stuff. I've got jobs to do, William. I've got trains that need to be places.
That's a good point. And I've got to go diving and catching fish.
Yes.
And with the fish, you can filter the water so you can have fresh drinking water.
Brilliant.
It's disgusting.
What, using the fish?
Yep.
You know that's how they make Fanta? Fanta's not vegetarian or vegan because they filter some of it through fish guts. Same as they used to do with Guinness, but they changed Guinness, so Guinness is now vegan.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a bit gross.
Yeah, but now you know because of Subnautica that that's a viable
thing.
Way of surviving in the underworld. Yeah, I'll play that for next time. I'll tell you what I think of it if we want to recap my thoughts on a game. Am I even allowed on the outro?
You are allowed on. You haven't been on the outro. But
no.
You can be on this one.
You sure?
It depends. Well, let's see what you do.
No.
Never again. I think we're just meant to say thank you for listening.
Should we maybe just remind them about the Patreon again? Because, you know, I like money.
Yeah. There is a Patreon.
There is, but at the moment, I don't think there's much incentive for people to invest. Invest? Patronize.
They can, yeah. Well, there is one, but we haven't. Yeah, we need ideas on the tiers and that we can add for. I've all gone a bit wrong. My
rewards.
Brain went. The rewards. That's the one. I was thinking tiers, and then I started thinking about crying.
Oh, because we've got none Patreons.
Yeah,
all the tiers. You could bottle those tiers, and they could be a reward for Patreon.
There you go.
Yeah,
there's an idea.
And that's I can make you cry.
But if anyone else out there has a better idea than just making me cry, then yeah, let
burns.
Us know. And
pinching.
Yeah. And there you go. But I hope you enjoyed the episode.
Me too.
We'll be back with another one.
I don't think you should allow me on the intro again. I ruined it.
This is the outro.
Oh yeah. Or the intro. You know, don't allow me
or
on the
episode,
podcast
just,
yet.
Nope.
See you later.
Bye.
I'm going now. I've had enough.